Okay, so today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Dalet. We will start, I got it to Kuf Yud Gilman Bey's, the very last line. Amar Rav Acha Bar Abba, Amar Ravi Yochanan. So this has to do with wearing unique garments. That's a derech kavod, that's a way of kavod. Minayin l'shinu begadim min haTorah. How do you know that if you change your garments, that is either for kavod Shabbos or kavod Torah, kavod tefillah, that is it's kavod for Hashem? Shenemar, because it says by the Kohen who takes the ashes out of the Mizbeach from the burning of the ashes from the korbanos and the sacrifices, who pashas begadav lavash begadim acherim. So the Torah says that he changes his clothes and he wears other garments and that he takes the ashes outside the camp. So before you do the mitzvah of Truvas Hadesh, of cleaning out the ashes, it's not considered such an avoda chashuba. That's not such an important avoda, right? So nevertheless, you need to change your garments since it is not an avoda chashuba, so then you wear lesser garments from that which you do, for that which you use for more important avoda, so that the more chashuv garments do not get dirty from the ashes. The Tanavir Mishmal Libencha Torah Derech Eretz. Torah teaches you a proper way. Begadim Shebisha Bohem Kedir LaRabba Al Yimzog Bohem Kol Sarabba. You should wear the same clothing that you use to cook food for your master as you do pouring a cup of wine for him. Okay. Abraham Chia Barab Rabbi Yochanan Gnayu LaTalmid Chacham Yishim Minolim Hamatulayim LaShuk. Person, it's not appropriate for a Talmid Chacham who should go with ripped shoes that were fixed by patches to the marketplace. Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. If did Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina go out like this, Rabbi Acha Barid Rav Nachman B'tzloy Gav B'tzloy. We're talking about if it's ripped more than once, it's a second patch. But one patch is okay. What's interesting is there's this kind of balance between you shouldn't wear clothes like to flaunt and, to make yourself seem so like, we're not into being materialistic, but at the same time, the goal should try to be a Talmid Chacham, should be presentable as well. So there's kind of balance between, looking appropriate and looking proper and versus, looking overly materialistic. Any Talmid Chacham for whom a stain is found al bigdo on his shirt, on his garment, chayav misa, he's liable for the death penalty. I mean, obviously, it's okay. Shenemar kol misanai avu maves al tikrei misanai elam masniei. He's saying the pasuk says anyone who those who hate Torah love death. Don't read it. Those who hate Torah, but those who causes Torah to be hated by other people, because a Talmid Chacham for whom a stain is found in his shirt, and the people say about him, woe to those who study the Torah, they are disgusting, and they are, look at them, they look disgusting, so they are mischayev misa, they are chayev misa. So you have to look in the eyes of society that you are someone who is reputable, okay? You have to look like someone who dresses bekavod, who walks bekavod, okay? Ravid Amar, Revet Itmar, this is said, it doesn't say Ravav, but it says Revet. A Talmid Chacham for whom he finds semen in his garment is chayav misa. The lo pligi, there's no argument. Habiglima habilavusha, that which Rav Chiya said that is forbidden if someone is found even a stain that's in his upper garment, and for this even Ravina agrees that you shouldn't find a stain. And habilavusha, the semen is on the lower the undergarment. Because if you find a stain, though, in the undergarment, you're not chayav misa because people don't see it. Amar, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba Rav Yochanan by Dichsiv. What does it mean when it's written? Kasher halach avdi Yeshayahu arom v'yachef. Hashem said regarding Yeshayahu that just like my servant Yeshayahu walked unclothed and barefoot for 3 years, Hashem commanded Yeshayahu to open the sackcloth from on top of his loins and to remove his shoes from his feet and to go undressed and unclothed as a sign, as a symbol regarding Egypt and Cush, that the king of Ashur will take Egypt captive, and he will take people from Cush, young and old, they'll be undressed and barefoot. And can you imagine that Yeshayahu would go mamish unclothed and barefoot for 3 years? Can that be? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Aron bivgadim b'luim b'yachay b'minalim hamatulayim. It can't be that Yeshayahu would actually walk for 3 years, obviously, you know, as a sign, but still, it can't be, it's not kavod for the Navi to walk like that. And therefore, the intent is that he wore patched up garments, worn out clothing and patched up shoes. So that was a siman for that. Tanan Hasam, we learn over there in Meseches Mikvos regarding being tovel a kli in order to make it tahor. Ravav al hamardeif. Let's say there's a stain that's found on a saddle. I think it's a saddle of a donkey, or it's a blanket. I guess that you put on the donkey in order to warm it up. So chotzeitz. So that serves as a chatzitz, an impediment when it comes to tevila. Because if this blanket is tameh, and you dipped it in a mikveh in order to make a tahor, the tevila doesn't work, and even the stain, even though the stain is very small, and even if the stain is very small, then nevertheless it doesn't. Since people are makpid, they're particular about a stain, so then that serves as a chatzitza. That's a general rule when it comes to chatzitza. When it comes to tefillah, that let's say you have a stain on your butt. Generally, it's with women, obviously, in our days, because when they go to the mikvah. So if they have a certain stain, so it depends if it's davar shemakpidim alav, if it's something that they are particular about, that certainly serves as an impediment, and the mikvah doesn't count. So that's what we're saying here: the stain on the blanket here, or the saddle, whatever, it doesn't. It impedes the tevila process. Rabbi Shem Galil Omer, Ad Isar Ha'it Italki. He says, no, it has to be the size of an Isar Italki. It has to be four barley seeds. But if it's smaller than that, people typically are not particular about it. If it's Al HaBegad, if it's on garbage, Mitzad Echad, it's on one side, Edo Chotzeitz, then it's not a, people aren't particular about it. Mishneitz Dadim, if it's on two sides, then it is Chotzeitz. Because Rabbi Yudom Mishim Mishmal, Af Mitzarechad Chotzeitz. And he says, no, even on one side, it is serves as a Chatzitza, because people are Makbid, even on what if the stain is on one side. Boy Minei Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Merav Chanina, Mardas Mitzarechad O Mishneitz Dadim. So he wants to know regarding this blanket. For the donkey, is it one side or does it have to be two sides? Amarle lo zozu shemati. I didn't hear specifically answer this question, but kayotze ba shemati. I heard something similar to that, and maybe you can resolve our question from a different case. Did not, because we're learning the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says that shel banaim, if the garment belongs to talmidei chachamim, to scholars, that the stain is chotzeitz, even if it's mitzad echad, even if it's only one side, then it still is a chatzitz, it still is an impediment, because scholars are particular about their garment, even with such a small stain. The shalbur, but if someone who's an ignoramus, who's not particular about his garments, then it's mitzdeitz done, if he's only particular with two sides of the garment. V'lo tehe bardas chashuv migdol shalma aretz. So, and isn't the mardas, at least, it shouldn't be more chashuv. It's not a blanket for a donkey. It's not more chashuv, more important than a garment of an Am Haaretz. So if the Am Haaretz is not makpid unless it's on both sides, so certainly for a donkey it's not considered chatzitza unless it's on two sides. And the Gemara clarifies Rabbi Yossi's position. My banayim, what do you mean banayim? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Elu Talmidei Chacham, Sheoskim B'Binyano Shalom Kol Yimeihem. These refer to Torah scholars because they're involved. They're builders. They build. They're builders of the world all their days. He says, "Tell me who is considered a Talmid Chacham." Now we're just bringing additional passages dealing with Talmid Chachamim. Tell me who's a Talmid Chacham for whom we return a lost object if he simply says, I recognize this lost object, it's mine, it was lost and it belongs to me. Normally speaking, in order to return a lost object, what do you need to do? You need to provide a siman. The Gemara Bava Metzia states that you have to normally provide a sign. And you can't just look at an object and say, yeah, that's mine, then get it. But apparently if someone has nemanos, if someone's considered a Talmud Chacham, so he has certain nemanos, believe, trustworthy, that we believe him just with tefiyah sign, just by looking at it. Zeha makbid al chaluka lehofcho. So who's considered a scholar? Not just any scholar, but someone who's so particular about his garment that if he's wearing it inside out, he turns it over. So you won't see the stitches, and people will say that it's the wrong way. I guess I assume that their garments are not like our garments, because nobody or very few people nowadays would wear their shirts inside out. But probably then it wasn't necessarily the biggest deal for some. It wasn't so. It was probably just some kind of like toga, I guess, or some kind of cloak that's a tunic that you can that could be easily interchangeable. Who is a scholar that you could appoint him a leader on the tzibur? So he's saying that if someone, you ask him anything in any place, anywhere in Shas, and he says the halacha, even in Meseches Kala, this is a brisa, it's not a mishnah, because there's no Meseches Kala, there's no mishnah in Meseches Kala. It's a brisa that the tzibur, the community, doesn't typically teach. But if he knows that, so then he could be a leader. Who is a scholar that people should do work for him, so he can only occupy himself in Torah? So, Zeshemediyach Chevzo, this is someone who leaves his own needs and is only involved with heavenly needs. What we're saying here is that you only need to provide bread, okay? But more than that, you're not obligated to do for him. So in other words, what we're saying here is like, it's okay if someone, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, if someone occupies himself in Torah day and night, so the community is obligated to support him, but essentially they support him not that he should be doing anything fancy or materialistic, the most minimal, basic necessities. And Rabbi Yochanan said, who's the Talmud Chacham? Anyone asks him a halacha in any place, and he says it, similar to before. L'may nafka mina, so what's the practical implication for this purpose? Lemanuye, to point him as a parnas al tzibur, as a leader on the tzibur. So le'i b'chad ha'mesechta, if he knows how to respond to halacha in one mesechta, but other mesechtas that he's not learning in them, he doesn't know how to respond, then ba'asrei. So if he only knows what he's studying now, then you can appoint him a leader only in his place. If he knows how to respond to halacha in any meseches and shas, then bereish besifta, then he could be the Rosh Hashiva. The Gemara now returns to that which we learned in the Mishnah above. The Biosi says that a beged, a garment of scholars, could be a chatzitza, even if there's a stain only on one side. The Gemara explained that banam, they refer to scholars who are makbid on their garments. Gemara brings another explanation in the words of Rav Yossi. Shem ben Lakish Amar, Shem ben Lakish says, Kelim ha ol yorin, so garments of the bathhouse attendants, habayim bimedina sayam, that come from the overseas, then they are considered chashuv, that they are garments that and so with them, they are particular even on a small amount of dirt. So they are even one stain, they're machbid on that. L'meimer d'chivrei ninhu, do you mean to say that kelim ha'ul yorim ha'bam b'dinas hayam are white, and therefore machbid even on a small amount of dirt? And what that would mean is that if they're red garments, we're not makpid on even a little bit of dirt. And Rabbi Yana said to his children, "Banai, my children, al tikruni lo bekelim levonim lo bekelim shchorim." So he said, "Don't bury me in white or black garments. Levonim, don't bury me in white garments. Shmolo eske kumi, I won't be zocha for Gan Eden, and I'm going to stand among those who are judged for Gehenna, that their faces are dark. Ve'ayen kechasen ben avelim, I'm going to appear to be like a chasen among mourners. Shchorim, don't bury me in black. Shemayeske kavu ben chasanim, because maybe I will merit olam Gan Eden. Everyone's black, and I will. What ve'ayen kavu ben chasan, I'll be like a mourner among the grooms, among chasanim. Ela b'chem ha'ol yorin haban b'nei sayam, but bury me in kelim ha'ol yorin, they come from overseas. Alma sumkinino. So we see that what are they? They are red. They're in between. So the Gemara says halokasha habiglime ha bilavushe. That which Rav Yare said that these kelim are red, that's referring to the outer garment, which is a little red. But habil vushe, that which Reish Lakish said they're white, that's talking about the undergarment. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mekaplin. Rabbi Shmuel says that you can fold garments from one Yom Kippur, from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. And the fats of Shabbos you can bring on Yom Kippur, but not vice versa. And Rabbi Kiva says you can't bring one from the other. Now the Gemara is going to explain the reason of their debate. Tana Rabbanan, a rabbi's teaching a brisa. It says in the Torah at the end of the parsha of Korban Musaf, Olav Shabbos b'Shabbato, that you bring the Korban Olav Shabbos in its Shabbos. And it doesn't say with a vav, meaning to say what? That you're allowed to burn the Korban Olav Shabbos of one Shabbos on another Shabbos. And it can't mean like the next Shabbos, because obviously what's going to happen between one Shabbos and the next, the korban is going to be no sar, and it's not fit for burning. Rather, what? Limeid al-chel be-shabbos she-kravim b'yom ha-kippurim. So what's a possibility of burning the fats of one Shabbos on another Shabbos? That has to be what? Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is also called a Shabbos, Shabbos Shabboson. So, after Yom Kippurim, B'Shabbos, and maybe you could say then the fats of the Korbanos Yom Kippur, maybe they can be brought on Shabbos. Let's say if Yom Kippur is Friday, right? It can't happen now, but let's say Yom Kippur is on Friday, and then maybe it's for to Friday, and then before Shabbos, and then it could be brought on Shabbos. Tamalomar B'Shabbato. So the extra above there is to tell you that there's a Shabbos that is not brought another Shabbos. So, in other words, one way it is, one way it isn't. So from Shabbos Yom Kippur works, and not from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. And then Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, li meid al-chel b'Shabbos she-kravim b'Yom Tov. It's coming to teach you that the fats of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Tov. Because Yom Tov is also called a Shabbos. It's true, Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton, but Yom Kippur, but all the Yom Tov are also called Shabbaton. And therefore, the fats of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Tov when it falls out on Sunday. Yachol, Ap Yom Kippurim, you might think it can either be even be brought on Yom Kippur, Tamalo or Bishabbato. So Bishabbato is an exclusion, and that excludes when Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday. Now, the Gemara is going to clarify the basis of their debate. Kishetim Tzalombar, Ledi Rabbi Shimon Darvin Doros Kron B'Yom Tov. When you examine the opinion of both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, so it seems that according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to bring Nedarim and Nedavos on Yom Tov, right? Rabbi Shmuel holds like that view that you're allowed to bring Nedarim and Nedavos on Yom Tov, even though you can wait to bring them after Yom Tov. According to this opinion, you would be allowed to burn the fats of the Korbanos that were shechted on Shabbos, but you weren't able to burn them on Shabbos, and you don't need a special pasuk to tell you that. So therefore, this pasuk of Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, it comes to teach you to allow you to bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. Now it's obvious that you can bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Tov because you can bring Nidar, since you can bring personal sacrifices on Yom Tov, so then you can certainly offer burn the leftover Shabbos korbanos, right? In other words, you have the korbanos of Shabbos that are obligatory, right? So if we allow you to bring voluntary sacrifice at Yom Tov, certainly we allow you to bring leftover Shabbos Karbonos on Yom Tov, and therefore the Pasuk, which is extra, it teaches you to allow you to bring it on Yom Kippur. L'divir Bekiva, the Dharma Nedavos ain't Kravim Yom Tov. However, according to Bekiva, he holds that we don't bring the Dharm and the Nedavos on Yom Kippur. Bechi Yitzrech Kra, and therefore that when the Pasuk says that we need the Pasuk, what's that? L'mishrei B'Yom Tov. So it only permits you to bring the fats on Yom Tov. By the way, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. I said in one of my tefillah halachos that that's why we don't say Mizmor L'Soda on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because we don't bring the Darim and the Davos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, that we never bring a Korban Toda on Yom Tov, and therefore we don't say Mizmor L'Soda on Yom Tov. In any case, we learned above, in the Brisa above, that at Erev Shabbos, when it's close to Shabbos, they would sound 6 shofar sounds to tell the people not to do work and to do Avdallah. And to, not to do Avdallah, but to get ready for Shabbos. And in Maseches Chulin, we learned that if Yom Tov fell out on Erev Shabbos, then they would blow a shofar close to Shabbos to tell the people that Ochol Nefesh was permitted on Yom Tov is forbidden on Shabbos. And we also learned over there that just like Chazal were metakein to make Havdalah, that they've made a rule to make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos when it's during the week. They also said that you're supposed to make Motzei Shabbos even when the next day is Yom Tov, because you're lessening in the Kedusha, lessening in the holiness. The Gemara now is going to clarify or to discuss whether we blow shofar on Yom Kippur that falls on an Erev Shabbos. And if we do Havdalah on Yom Kippur that falls on a Motzei Shabbos, and if this question perhaps is related to the debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva that we just mentioned above. Amar Rabbi Zeira says, Ki avinam b'bavel, when I was studying Torah in Bavel, Hava Amri, I would say, Hadit Tadya, that which we learned, Yom Kippur Shechol Lios b'Erev Shabbos lo yu tokin. Yom Kippur that fell in Erev Shabbos, they wouldn't blow shofar. U'matei Shabbos lo yu mavdil, and they wouldn't make Avdalah. Why? Because there's no real difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in this, and Yom Kippur in this regard, because they basically have the same rules. Divrei HaKolhi. And I thought that this was everyone's opinion. It was not related to the debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. However, Ki Salikna Lahasam, when I made Aliyah, when I went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkiche LiYehuda Brei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazdi Yasi V'Kamar, I found Yehuda, the son of Yishmael ben Pazi, was sitting and he said, Rabbi Akiva, this is only Rabbi Akiva's position. Why? Rabbi Akiva holds that forbidden fats cannot be brought on Yom Kippur. Forbidden fats of Shabbos cannot be brought on Yom Kippur, and therefore, Yom Kippur is not less severe than Shabbos, but they're equal in their Kedusha and their sanctity, so therefore, we don't blow shofar to differentiate between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, because they are the same level of holiness when it comes to the Isser Malacha, the prohibition of work, or in general, they're generally the same level of kedusha. Rabbi Shmuel, because if it was Rabbi Shmuel, then wait a second. Keva da'amar chel ve'Shabbos kriyim miyom kippurim. Since we say that the fats of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur, then what? What do we see? Shabbos is more strict than Yom Kippur. Litka, then you should blow shofar. So that people will know that Yom Kippur is not as strict as Shabbos, and you can bring the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. So the Rav Zeira concludes that he says, "Va'minale ana kohar mizrizim him." And I say, no, I don't think. I think the Brisa can even follow Rabbi Shmuel. I think you don't have to blow shofar between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Because if this is the only distinction, we don't have to worry about the Kohanim not knowing this halacha. Why? Because Kohanim is Rizim Haim. They know all these halachos. We're not dealing with the only difference is a difference that applies to the Kohanim who are bringing karbanos. And they know the halachos that you could bring the leftover fats. You could burn leftover fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. The Gemara is now going to ask on Rabbi Zeh. Ramalei Markshisha Breda Chista Ravashi Miam Ridan. Kohanim is using him. Do we say the Kohanim are you know, zealous and they're alert and you don't need to blow shofar to warn them. Atnan, we over the Mishnah that shalosh lahavtil as amim lacha shalosh lahavtil ben kodesh lachol, that three of the shofar sounds that the Mishnah in Sukkos talks about that they blew were to warn the people to stop malacha, and three to make them aware that it's the kedushas hayom, that it's the sanctity of the day is coming, to inform them that the sanctity of the day is now. And since these tekiyos were in the mikdash, in the temple, it's proven that the purpose of the tekiyos is so there should be recognition to the kohanim. And so obviously it seems that they're not zaris, they're not so alert, and they're not so we're not 100% sure they're going to do the halacha correctly. So the Gemara says, no, kid the Amar Abaye. Now we can respond to that, like what Abaye responded in Maseches Yoma. That what? That Hilni Amalka made this golden candelabra, this golden menorah, and she placed it in a high place by the opening of the Heichal, the Beis HaMikdash. And when the sun rose, so there were sparks of light that emerged from this candelabra. And because of that, they knew it's now the Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. And then they ask, why do you need this candelabra? Don't the Kohanim know that you don't read the Kriya Shema just when the sun rises? But the Kohanim, they actually do it earlier. So this doesn't really help. And he says, Lishar Amad Yerushalayim. He said that this candelabra, even though it was placed in the Mikdash, it was for the other people in Yerushalayim to see it. It's true, the location was in the Mikdash, but it was for other people to see it. It's for the other people in Yerushalayim. Yes, they blew the shofar in the Mikdash, fine. That's its central location. But it wasn't for the Kohanim, but it was to warn the other people. Now, the Gemara is now going to explain that even though the general rule is that whatever is forbidden to do on Shabbos is also to do on Yom Kippur, nevertheless, there were some things on Yom Kippur that they were lenient about from the time of Mincha and onward, like Knivas Yerek, to separate the leaves of the vegetables from the stalk in order so they'll be permitted. They can eat it right away, even though you're preparing for Yom Kippur to the weekday. So there were a few things that are different. So the Gemara now is going to ask, Velitka, shouldn't you blow on the shofar on Yom Kippur that falls on the Erev Shabbos? Why? So that the Hamonam, so that the masses will know that there is a difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. It's not all the same. What's the difference? Knivas Yerek, this halacha that Yom Kippur is a little more lenient than Shabbos, that from Mincha on we allow you to cut the vegetables and to separate the leaves from the stalk so they'll be prepared to cook them right away at Motzei Shabbos. And Chazal allows you to do this even though you're praying from Yom Kippur to the weekday because of Agmas Nefesh. Because when he sees that, what's interesting is that when he sees and he's involved in the food, you would have thought that what's the reason for this? Is to make their lives easier so they can eat it right away. And here we say, no. Here we say, at least Rashi is saying, that the reason why they're allowing this is because you can have more eating, you're going to suffer more when you're preparing food. That's the way Rashi understood this. So others disagree. The Rabban disagrees. Rabban says it's because of Agmas Nefesh. They won't allow you, you're going to suffer, you know, right after Motzei Yom Kippur. We want you to be able to eat right after Yom Kippur. So is it to increase the inoy on Yom Kippur, or is it to minimize the Agmas Nefesh, the suffering after Yom Kippur? In any case, we have this question. Why aren't we blowing shofar to distinguish Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Om Rav Yosef, Lefisha Ein Dochin Shvus Lahatir. That we don't allow you to blow shofar. That's normally forbidden because of, you're normally not allowed to blow shofar. That's a rabbinic prohibition to blow shofar on Shabbos. We don't allow you to blow shofar to permit Knivas Yerek, cutting the vegetables Yom Kippur, because we only allowed you to blow shofar to warn you about an upcoming prohibition, but not to tell you about the special heter of Yom Kippur. Okay? So, Rav Shisha, Breda Ravili Amar, Shvus Krova Hitiru, Shvus Rechova Lo Hitiru. He gives a different answer. He says that that which they allow you to blow shofar, even though there's a prohibition to blow shofar normally, it's only if there is a purpose that is close by. But a far away, for some far away purpose, they didn't permit you. Meaning what? That Yom Kippur that fell on Erev Shabbos, they didn't permit to blow shofar because why? Because when would you blow shofar? What's the case? Yom Kippur is Friday and the next day is Shabbos. On that particular day, you would not be allowed to do Knivas Yerek. In other words, when Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, you would not be allowed to cut the vegetables for Shabbos. Why? Because you would not be able to cook them on Motzei Yom Kippur, because Motzei Yom Kippur would be Shabbos. So the very day of Yom Kippur, right, leading into Shabbos, which you say, oh, blow the shofar, so you know the difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, that's actually the only time that you would not be allowed to do Knivas Yerek, because Shabbos falls out after Yom Kippur. As the Gemara says, wait a second, Shvus Krova Hitiru, what they allow you to blow shofar for a to tell you to inform you of a heter, is that true? Vatanan, but we hold on in the mission Chulin Yom Tov Shechol Lios Erev Shabbos Tokin, that Yom Tov that falls on an Erev Shabbos, we blow shofar to tell the people not to do malacha. Like Ochal Nefesh, below Mavdilin, and on Motzi Yom Tov, that's Shabbos, we don't do Havdalah, right? You know, if Yom Tov is Friday, we don't do Havdalah. So that's the purpose of the Tkiyah Shofar on Yom Tov that falls on Erev Shabbos. But if Yom Tov falls on a Motzei Shabbos, Mavdilin, then we would say Havdalah, right, from Shabbos to Yom Tov, for Lo Tokim, but we don't blow Shofar on Shabbos as Erev Yom Tov, because Shabbos is more strict than Yom Tov. Avamai, why? Litka kiheche de lideish de shari b'shchit el altar. Why don't we say that you're allowed to blow shofar on late Saturday afternoon to let people know that the next day we're going to be more lenient, that you can shech the animals. Ella machaver takiv of Yosef. Rather, what do we say? You're right. We never blow shofar to permit to inform you of a heter, even if it is a close by heter. So we reject Rav Shisha's answer and we like Rav Yosef's answer. Once we mention that we're speaking about blowing shofar to inform you about the heter, the leniency of Knivas Yerek, of cutting up vegetables in Yom Kippur, the Gemara is now gonna discuss whether you're allowed to cut up those vegetables in Yom Kippur that fall out on Shabbos itself. Right? We mentioned that you can't cut up vegetables if Yom Kippur falls out Erev Shabbos because there's no purpose. You're not allowed to cook them on Shabbos. So, Amar Zeh Rav Huna, Amri La, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, so even though in Yom Kippur that falls out during the week, you're allowed to cut the vegetables. Yom Kippur, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, also B'Knivas Yerek. Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut the vegetables because you're not allowed to burden yourself on Shabbos for a weekday. And therefore, even if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, they don't allow you to cut the vegetables because of the prohibition of Shabbos. Amar Rav Mona, Rav Mona says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa. Like Rav Huda, Minayin Li Yom Kippur Mishchal Yos B'Shabbos Asur Nekinivas Yerek. How do we know that Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to cut the vegetables? Tabu Lobar, the Pasuk says, Shabbosot, right? That's forbidden. So you can darshan for that, Shavos. So that would indicate even Kinivas Yerek is forbidden. The Gemara, now the Ramana wants to clarify, Lamai, what type of cutting of vegetables is the Braisa teach you from Shabbason that's forbidden? If you want to say that's talking about the melacha of kotzer, cutting a vegetable from your vegetable garden, detaching it from, you know, from its source of growth. So the haksiv lo tasek kol melacha. No, you don't need a pasuk to tell you for the word shvos from Shabbason, because we already have don't do any melacha, and so you would learn that from the melacha of kotzer. It's one of the 39 melachos of the Mishkan. Elalav akivas yerek. So what must it be talking about? It must be talking about cutting the vegetables. Shmamina, we learn from here that knivas yerek is forbidden on Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. Amar b'chibar abar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Kippur shcholios b'shabbos. Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, mutter b'knivas yerek. He disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Says you're allowed to cut it because he says we don't darsh in Shabbos on Shvos to forbid any type of burden, but it simply comes to tell you that what. That if you violate, if you do a malacha on Shabbos, not only do you violate a lav, a prohibition, but you also violate the asay of Shabbaton. There's both a lav and a prohibition. And therefore, there's no pasuk to tell you that knivas yerek is forbidden, therefore you're allowed to do it. Meisve, we have a question on Rabbi Yochanan's position from a brisa. Minayin liyom kippur mishchal yos b'shabbos, yosur b'knivas yerek, tamal lo b'shabbos on Shvos. So it's our price that we just brought. Then how do you know the Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the knivas yerek is forbidden, because the pasuk says Shabbos on Shvos. Lemai, what type of kniva are we talking about? Ilei melim malacha. If we're talking about malacha, ksiv lo sasek kochom malacha, the Torah says don't do any malacha, elav knivas yerek. So rather, what must it be talking about? Right? It must be talking about knivas yerek. So, right? So that seems to be, that was Rav Mana's support above, and that's a challenge of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, no. La'olam limlacha v'lav v'olav v'asei v'lota say. What's it coming to tell you? No, it's talking about a malacha. And what's it coming to tell you? That you violate an asei and a lav. So in other words, knivas yerek is an example where it wants to tell you, I'm sorry, that kniva, right, if you cut it from its source, not only do you violate a lav, but you also violate an asay. And the Gemara brings the proof to Rav Yochanan. Tayik Masi Rav Yochanan, Yom Kippur Shchol Dios B'Shavos, Yom Kippur that falls out on Shavos. We'll finish the parak. Muter B'Knivas Yerek. So you're allowed to do Knivas Yerek. Mefatzim B'Egozim. You're allowed to break the shells of nuts in order to prepare them for eating. Umefar Kisim B'Rimonim. You're allowed to fix the pomegranates for eating, min ha-mincha ulamala, from mincha onward, from mincha ketana, not mincha gdol. Mincha gdol is a half an hour, a half of a halachic hour, afternoon, after chatzos, and mincha ketana is 9.5 hours after, so today begins at 6 and ends at 6, so it would be at 3:30. So you're allowed to do these things, mibnei agmas nefesh. So again, two different opinions. Rashi says to increase your suffering of Yom Kippur, and Ramban says to minimize your suffering after Yom Kippur, so you can eat the food right away. Tvei Rabbi Huda bekanve krava. Okay, in the house of Rabbi Huda, they would cut the cabbage branches from the stalks to prepare them for eating. Tvei Rabba gardi kari. In the house of Rabba, they would cut gourds. Kevar pumpkins, kevar dachaz dahava koma charfe. Once Rabba saw that his household began to cut these pumpkins, these gourds before mincha, and they were not acting appropriately, because they only allowed it from after mincha. Amar lahu asa igarta mi marava mishmei Rabbi Yochanan da asir. I got a letter from Eretz Yisrael, and it's written on in the name of Yochanan that you're not allowed to do it on Yom Kippur even after mincha happened. So he didn't. He sort of distorted the truth. Why? Because had he said this in his own name, then they wouldn't have listened to him. So he brought a Rav Yochanan who, this is obviously like a, you know, when do we try this, right? In other words, what's he saying here? He distorted the truth because he saw that if he would tell the truth, well, either if he would say, if he would simply say, number one, don't do this only after mincha, not before mincha, they're not going to listen. They're going to even do it before mincha. So that doesn't work. And if he would say, I'm telling you, I think the halacha is even before mincha is forbidden, they won't listen to him because who are you? So therefore, he distorted the truth. So, it's a big shaila. The Magen Avraham, they discuss this. The Magen Avraham says that if someone hears a halacha, you're allowed to say it in the name of an Adam Gadol, so people will accept the halacha. But they ask a big question. That if you say a halacha, the name of a chacham, that he didn't say it, then it could cause the Shechina to leave Eretz, to leave Klal Yisrael. So he's saying, this is a big challenge. What are you allowed to do that? I guess it seems the Ran writes that now the heter has been batel, and the Shulchan Aruch actually paskin that there's no heter anymore for Knivas Yerek. So whether Rav Yochanan himself said it or not, they felt that this would cause too much of a breach in Chazal's takana that it was permitted. This obviously is a dangerous game, especially when you can perhaps realize what the truth is. But anyway, that's what he did in that instance.